It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Appreciate you listening in, and as usual, another lovely day here in Hawaii, and that's what keeps me going, and all the good things about it. Hey, there are some major developments going on with the dairy, and I thought maybe you'd like to hear that, and I have Miss Bridget Hammerquist coming on with me this morning, and in the second hour, for those that are interested in this and want to contribute your comments and what have been, we'll discuss the new developments, and they're substantial in the sense of a favorable ruling. I shouldn't call it a ruling, a decision made by OEQC, but it still hangs in the balance until the directive done. But we'll explain in greater details what is actually going on with that. But it's a positive move and a positive effort. So without further delay, I'm going to bring in Ms. Hammerquist and from Kauai, Friends of Maha Ulepu. Good morning, Bridget. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
All righty. I'm still trying to digest all of this and how great it is, the news. So if you could introduce yourself, they become familiar with you and your voice and all the good things you talk about. But once again, if you could, and then before we go into details, could you describe what has happened, what the new development as it relates to OEQC, so that it does not get convoluted or people get confused as we talk later in the what your expectations are later and all of that. So if you'd be so kind to introduce yourself and go from there.
Okay. My name is Bridget Hammerquist, and I was raised in Hawaii, born on Big Island, and moved to Kauai when my family came here. My dad was with Sugar. He was in ag all my life. I believe in agriculture. I am a community member on Kauai now and live here full time. My parents are buried here. Our family came here in 1964 from the Big Island, so been here a long time. And basically, Piero Midiar, the owner of Ulupono Initiative, and his team decided they would put in a industrial dairy right on the coast of the south shore of Kauai. We didn't know about it until it had been worked on for maybe 3 years and it was rolled out to the public. Because of the size, 2,000 mature cows grazing and leaving their waste on the ground. It's the planned 100% land application for all the waste. A lot of people, Carol, say, oh, aren't they taking the manure away or what? No, it's all supposed to stay. And the total acreage for the farm is 470 acres. So it's a relatively small area for that many animals. They want to start with a herd of 700 mature cows. And there's a freshwater stream, kind of lots of springs on the site. Actually, the site used to be the Mahalapu Swamp in olden days. And it was drained by Sugar with these extensive ditch network and these deep channel ditches. And they all drain out through one stream, the Waiopili stream, going across the beach at Mahalepu and into the ocean. And that's what made it a sort of a pasture area or grassland because the sugar industry drained that swamp. But the big important thing to keep in mind is the water's all still there. It has to drain every day. And so the people here on the south shore, Poipu Beach or Keiki Beach, very concerned about the pollution, you know. And they went to meetings that the dairy started, and there was a lot of concern because the waste was so voluminous that's expected. They expect nearly 2 million pounds a month of wet manure. They're going to add 60 million gallons of irrigation a month. They're going to add, actually it's going to be closer to 90 million gallons a month. It's 2.93 million gallons a day of irrigation, and then they have the 2 million pounds of manure. They have the water that's already at the site, and all we could see was a giant mess going down the stream and into our ocean, because the stream comes right through the center of the farm. And so the community made kind of a lot of noise, you know, saying, what's going on? What are you thinking? And meanwhile, Surf Rider tried to get a baseline on that stream that drains from the site, and they found that there's, like, serious pollution. They tested over and over again, and the numbers kept, you know, they were out there, man. I mean, there were 10,000, 8,000, 12,000. So it was just a really not a good mix. And so the dairy people, meanwhile, they have their permit process going on. They're putting in their application to do this with the state, and they have to get a construction permit as part of it. That's one of their permits. There's several permits they have to get. And they are applying for the permit coverage. They're dealing with the wastewater division to get an operating permit for running a feed, animal feed operation at the location. And they've got all these things going down, and, you know, we're kind of uncovering stuff as we go along that they aren't totally truthful about with the agency, so we're telling the agency. And it comes out that because they're going to have these giant lagoons that are going to hold so much wastewater, and that's just from the milking parlor, 90% of the waste, it's all out on the pasture, Carol. But 10% is going to get collected from the milking parlor, the calving barns, the raceways, and that's going to go into the effluent pond, yeah, 10% of the total waste. But it's still going to be millions and millions of gallons of wastewater.
Mm-hmm.
So because it has that on the site, it triggers something called a 343 review, or that's Hawaii Revised Statute 343, and that requires an environmental assessment. So in the fall of 2014, they announced they're going to do this environmental assessment. They tell the public they're doing it voluntarily, but it is really triggered by the statute and also by the fact that they collected state money on the site. They got tax credits for all the development they've been doing. So far, they've collected at least $625,000 from the state of Hawaii, from taxpayers, because it's important agricultural land out there. So we get to this point where they're doing this environmental assessment, and it's called an environmental impact statement. And it's going through the Department of Health, and of course, as you know, one of the processes is a public comment period. And that happened the last public comment for this environmental impact statement closed July 25th, 2016. And the state's been reviewing it, and they've been reviewing, and we commented. Many, many people commented. Agencies commented. Individuals commented. And all those comments went in on July 25th. Then they went to the dairy proponents, and they got to study the comments, and they're supposed to answer them and basically, you know, come up with something that says, okay, I see your concern here, and here's the solution. And that's the process that they went through for months. Then they filed a final environmental impact statement. And that was filed on the 16th or 17th of January. I think it was the 17th of January this year, 2017, 1-17-17. And they had, the department then had 30 days to review the final to see whether or not, as the director of OEQC said, whether or not the dairy took the points raised and went point by point and gave a satisfactory response. And what happened was that in reviewing the final EIS, the director of the Office of Environmental Quality Control, Scott Glenn, found that they had not given a satisfactory response to many rather critical environmental concerns. So he wrote a letter, it's a long letter, well documented, to the director of the Department of Health, Dr. Pressler, Virginia Pressler, and he recommended that the final EIS be rejected, that it not be accepted as a final EIS because it's deficient. And that's where we are today.
And to be more specific, I want to read, because I'm concerned with a couple of developments and tactics. I describe them as tactics. I could be completely wrong and inaccurate in my description. But prior to this document, this decision by Mr. Scott Scott Glenn. An interesting thing happened, and maybe it's just coincidental, but I've come to learn in watching and observing this and seeing what you folks are having to put up with. And always it's like whack-a-mole. It's something that instead of face-on, you're being presented with a different tactic or strategy on the, from the other side. So to include the state's involvement. But this was specific. And so prior to this, what developed was that it was announced that they had an extension. They wanted an extension and was granted an extension for 8 more days. Now, I'm puzzled because Mr. Glenn was able to conduct his review and reach a formal, final decision and a recommendation, and yet the news was focusing on an issue of it was an extension was asked and received. And so I'm hoping you can speak to that, but let me just read it clearly so if the other side is intending to continue to throw out information that I won't say that is not true, but to distort or diffuse the real impact of this one. For responses to comments, the OEQC found that most comments received a point-by-point response, but it is not clear that all comments received such a response. In the absence of clear point-by-point responses, the OEQC is unable to affirm that the applicant met the requirements for the third criterion. Therefore, the OEQC recommends that the Department of Health issue a non-acceptance determination. Go ahead, Bridget, if you'd like.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened. And they, in Mr. Glenn's letter, which actually is well supported, it's 116 pages long. So this is a detailed report from one director of the agency, Office of Environmental Quality Control, to the director of the Department of Health.
Mm-hmm.
He notes several areas in which there was not a good response. I can give you a for instance, if you'd like, Carol.
Oh, you got the airwaves here. They're listening.
Well,
they're saying, tell us.
There's a term of the lease where Grow Farm, who owns the land out there, you know, Grow Farm, it was one of the sugar companies on island, and toward the end of the sugar industry, there were a number of owners of Grow Farm, and they did a good job buying up plantation lands that were being laid fallow, and they owned a certain amount to begin with, and they bought up neighboring plantation lands. So Grow Farm now owns about 42,000 acres of Kauai, and they really are not a farm. They're more a land management company at this point, and they lease land. They also develop residential areas and sell parcels. They're making, mm-hmm. you know, a fair amount of income annually from the sale of various residential developments that have grown up in Old Sugar area on island. So they're a land management company, and they own the valley of Mahoulepu, but there are also some Kuleana properties down there, and the ownership of those is not that clear. Back in 1976, Grove Farm tried to acquire the Kuleana, the land claim awards that had not been sold to it by quiet title action, and we really don't know at this juncture whether those quiet title proceedings are even legal. There's some legislation going through right now to make Kuleana properties capable of being acquired through quiet title, but I'm not sure back in 76 that what they did is going to be deemed legally valid. And I think they know that, too, because when the dairy developed their maps, you know, Carol,
mm-hmm.
they actually show more than 29 Kuleana parcels on the site that's intended to have cows grazing and manure dumping. So they recognize them. They called them out in their archaeology impact statement that was filed with the State Historic Preservation Division of DLNR, the Department of Land and Natural Resources. they identified the parcels on the map and even provided the family names for the descendants to whom these lands were given. And mm-hmm. the background of Kuleana lands is that people who worked the lands, the king wanted the families who had worked the lands to have the parcels, and most of these were taro fields. You can tell by the size of them and the way they're tiered, that they're terraced kind of, mm-hmm. that's what they did. And they gave the land to the families, and they gave it to them in perpetuity. So there's a question as to whether or not the right of access that the Hawaiians were supposed to have to these lands was really broken back in 1976 when Grove Farm did their quiet title action. But so Grove Farm owns the area, except maybe for the land claim awards. And then Grove Farm dedicated a certain number of acres in that valley to a state program called Important Agricultural Land.
Mm-hmm.
And when they made those what's called IAL lands, we noted that the Kuleana properties, parcels, are specifically accepted. They're specifically not included in the IAL. Even though they're on the same site, they're not part of the Important Agricultural Land designation.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, there's a cloudy area there, yeah? But that's all still going to have manure and stuff on it. And some of the Hawaiians spoke out at our public meetings and said, we have ancestors out there buried. We have babies that were buried in the taro patch when they didn't survive birth or they died really young. And this is really a historical valley. I mean, there's heiaus out there. There's petroglyph rocks. One of the state's most active archaeologic areas right now, exploration areas, is the Makavahi Cave.
Right. Well, this is
the setting.
Mm-hmm.
And the concerns were that when Grove Farm signed the lease with Ulupono Initiative and Pierre Midiar, they promised to give him 2.93 million or 3 million gallons daily. He says his plan that he filed with the state says he anticipates needing 2.93 million gallons daily for running the farm of water, the water from the Waitā Reservoir. So several people commented, how can Grove Farm, not a utility company, give away this water? They don't own it. It comes mm-hmm. from the Hule'ia stream.
Yeah.
Bridget, and there's an old sugar diversion that put it into a reservoir.
Bridget, hold on one second.
Okay.
Before we go too far away from straight from the earlier points that you were talking, the Kuleana lands.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to remind people that you're not nitpicking and just trying to throw up a smoke screen or obstructionist. It's a reality. Ask Mr. Zuckerberg. He has obtained land, and what was one of the major concerns in that later?
Yeah,
Kuleana land.
He has several Kuleana parcels.
Right. So this is a reality, and so often people try to dismiss it and say, well, you're just using the Hawaiian angle. No, it's a reality. And if you don't believe it, just go on Facebook and send Mr. Zuckerberg an email. And he'll tell you the reality of it, and it's about time that the Hawaiian issues and the Hawaiian elements that are present be addressed and not be looked upon as a means of someone using it as to obstruct development or obstruct a dairy. So go ahead. I was sorry.
No,
about that.
You're right. I mean, it's been two full years, Carol, since I first heard a Hawaiian gentleman stand up at a public meeting and say, my family has graves out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really want kukai on those graves. That's been a sacred valley. I mean, a few animals grazing, one thing, we're not anti-ag. But, a herd of 2,000 milking cows, and they're planning to graze them in mobs of 300 to 330 on 3 to 4 acre parcels. It's really dense grazing. And when they have 2,000 cows, the monthly manure production is going to be 6 million pounds. I mean, it's amazing. It's just, you can't even conceive of, mm-hmm. That much volume of manure. In fact, one of our members was trying to give people an idea. And he said, we got to figure out a way to let people know what this means. So we went and we researched and found that the EPA had actually studied to give themselves an understanding. They studied the daily waste coming from different kinds of animals, and they figured out a waste equivalent to a human population. So they could, you know, so you could get a picture, right? And so in this big study that came out from the EPA, and it's about 300 pages long, they said 700 mature dairy cows produce the waste of a city of 118,000 people. So if you can imagine 118,000, more than even live on the whole island of Kauai, having their waste daily deposited on one little part of a valley, untreated, on the ground, ready to liquefy and run off. That's what we're dealing with. Only it's cow manure. And the cow manure is even higher in hormone and nitrate and bacteria than human waste.
Right.
Much higher.
Now, let's
and
talk.
So getting back to these significant environmental concerns that the OEQC director found weren't addressed. One of the big ones is the draw of fresh water daily. That 2.93 million gallons daily. He noted that a very good question was asked. How can Grove Farm give away or sell through the lease this 3 million gallons daily to the dairy people?
Mm-hmm.
What right does it have to use that resource of the state? It's waters of the state. It's protected by the...
Seaworm.
Well, yes, by Seaworm. They haven't actually weighed in on it yet. They haven't been involved, to my knowledge, but the public trust doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a concept that every state agency must protect natural resources.
Why can't we find a comment or involvement on the part of DLNR in this process?
Well, there was one done by DLNR, actually by their Aquatic Resources Division.
Okay.
And we did get a copy of that, and it wasn't until this past fall that they weighed in very concerned about the reefs because they didn't find an adequate marine evaluation in the environmental impact report. In other words, this is 6/10 of a mile from the beach. They supposedly are doing an environmental impact study. One of the big environmental impacts is the consumption of fresh water. Another is the manure and nitrate and bacteria that are going to be put on the soil and in the stream.
Mm-hmm.
Another is the flow to the ocean and the impact to the ocean, the eutrophication in the ocean, the algal blooms, they call them, that form on the reefs and kill the reefs. Actually what it does to the monk seals that live in that area. You know, all of this hadn't been looked at.
But how are they addressing what I mean, seaworm?
Oh, well, Department of Land and Natural Resources, to my knowledge, Carol, did not prepare a comment.
So,
and
should
they? But
Division
of Aquatic Resources did. And then I want to tell you what the dairy did. That was authored in the middle of November of this last year, okay? The dairy went out and conducted a marine study then in December of 2016. That was 5 months after the public comment period had closed.
So you were not afforded the opportunity
to
comment?
No, we weren't given the opportunity to see it. The public wasn't given the opportunity to see the Division of Aquatic Resources comments.
Would you have commented on that if you had the opportunity?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So why do you think they even permitted that, or they being the state, even proceeded on this if, in fact, you're required to present what you're going to do and potential impacts to the public for their review, their comments?
Well,
but then you go out and you do you put it out in the draft environmental impact statement without including these portions of it. Then once they've commented, you go out and conduct a study that they won't know anything about. How did you find out about it?
Well, because we were fortunate in that one of the people that recognizes the environmental harm is the state biologist on the island. Mm-hmm. And he called me and he said, you know, they asked me for some comments. I said, really? What on? He said, well, you know, the thing is totally deficient, yeah, on the marine impact and the impact to the fish that live and thrive and are needing the stream for spawning. They can't use it because it's so polluted right now. And I said, I know. He said, so I made my comments. And I actually asked if I could see a copy of the comments, and he sent it to me. It is public record, but it wasn't published. See, it's not part of the EIS, so the general public doesn't know anything about it. But if you go to DLNR, you have a right to get it because it's a public document that went from that agency over to the Department of Health. Now, sometimes what they tell you is it's part of the deliberative process,
right.
So you can have it as soon as the deliberations are over. But that's totally contrary to the concept
right. So,
of an environmental impact statement, because the laws surrounding environmental impact reports are that they be made public.
Right, and they were not made public.
No,
and
that
so
was not made public.
So therefore,
and
you were not provided, the public who is opposing this or have an interest in this didn't get fully informed or get to evaluate what was being presented to bolster their case.
No, and in fact, Carol, this is like peeling the layers of an onion.
Mm-hmm.
When
make you want to cry.
Yeah. When the dairy got the information, and I'm sure they did, because they went right out 30 days later conducting this marine evaluation, right?
Mm-hmm.
What they put in their final environmental impact statement that they released to the public in January, they put in there that they did this marine study for Friends of Maho'olepu.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, they did. That's what they said.
How generous.
But we had nothing to do with it.
Well, really?
We didn't ask them to conduct that study. We said, where is the marine evaluation?
But if you didn't ask them, but they submitted it, why would they tell the state that they did it on your behalf?
Well, maybe they didn't want the public to know, because I don't think the state is in the dark. The state got the copy of the report from the Division of Aquatic Resources. No question. Okay. And so this is the kind of stuff that I'm sure Mr. Glenn was coming across.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sees them put in writing that they are responding to concerns from FOM, and they did this study for FOM. Uh-uh. They did it for the Division of Aquatic Resources and DLNR. And they did it 5 months after we couldn't weigh in, we couldn't know about it, we couldn't comment. That's the kind of stuff that will keep an environmental impact, and it should keep an environmental impact study from being final.
Well,
it's supposed to.
My advice to the dairy people is that if you practice that, they should learn by now that the Friends of Maho'olepu is not going to sit there and take it just sitting down. And if I was in the fight with you, I'm going to be very honest with you. I dot my I's, cross my T's, because I know you're looking and watching. And hey, look at your results now. I mean, you challenged them, and that's applauded. I mean, really, I'm still scratching my head. But how about the politicians over there on your side? Is there any full support now, or have they changed? What's the status of? There were a couple of them, Derek Kawakami. And someone else, what is their position now that they see this? Do they have they reconsidered their opposition to you folks, or what?
Well, I don't think it's so much opposition to us. We met with Derek Kawakami, and, you know, basically he was trying to do something good for agriculture. What he told us when we met with him on the Valentine's Day this past, the 14th of February, he told us that, you know, agriculture is getting, you know, crowded out by development. And so we got to help to support and promote agriculture. And every one of us in the room with him, you know, understood that struggle, but that's not what that issue down on, in this operation. This isn't agriculture as agriculture goes. This is industrial ag right on a beach. Carol, you can't get any closer to the ocean.
Right.
You've got drainage right from the site, a full-on stream. We've got a picture of it on our website right now at friendsofmaho'olepu.org. People can go there and see what that drainage off that site is. In fact, in some parts of their EIS, they actually bring out facts that are very supportive of our concerns. Like they admit that the natural water drainage from the site daily. Remember I told you it used to be a swamp?
Mm-hmm.
That's because there's springs there. In fact, I think I shared with you an exchange between Watson Okubo of the Clean Water Branch and Bob Whittier of the Safe Drinking Water Branch.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, Eileen Kitchloyan and I, one of the other Friends of Mahalapu board, were flying over. She had arranged this meeting with the head of the Safe Drinking Water Branch. And the day, the very morning we were to meet with him at 10 a.m., at 8 o'clock, he emailed the head of the Clean Water Branch Investigation Division, and he says, Watson, you've been out there. Are there any freshwater springs, or is there any groundwater that comes up to meet the surface water? And Watson emails back, Bob, there's springs on out there. And Mr. Whittier emails him back. Those are on the ocean side, though, right, Moore Mackay? And Watson from Clean Water Branch says, no, Bob, they're right on the dairy site. So there is water coming up from the aquifer, from the groundwater, and it's actually a spring onto the site. So, and there's several of them. They bubble up all over the property. That's why they have an extensive ditch network.
Is this the same letter or exchange of emails where he also accused you folks of photoshopping?
No.
And this is not the difference.
That was another one. When we went to meet with him, Eileen had sent him a picture of an excavation that they did without a permit.
Mm-hmm.
They started excavating the area where they want to put an effluent pond. The problem, and it's a half-acre area that they disturbed, and they've got this big keyhole pond. It's shaped like a keyhole because they said they were looking to see if there were rocks. And maybe that's true. But what they found after going down just 2 feet was they found water. Water, water, lots of water.
So you didn't Photoshop that in then?
So Bob Whittier, the safe drinking water guy, who's trying to get a handle on where the water table is, what the issue is of, you know, getting, because our wells are right there, right? Our drinking water
mm-hmm.
gets filled by the aquifers under the site. And he's trying, I'm sure, to get a handle on how likely is it that the manure is going to mix in the water that then goes to the wells. So first he asks Watson, does the groundwater come up and meet the surface water? And Watson tells him, yeah. There's springs on the site. It actually bubbles up just like a water feature. And when it goes back down, it goes into all these. We've got deep channel ditches that go down 6-8 feet deep. So they're actually down in water. There's water in the bottom of them all the time.
They've dug. Okay.
Well, they cleared them.
Mm-hmm.
They may have made them deeper because they did say in their report they removed sediment from them.
Right.
So they were there. They were used to drain the water off when the sugar grew there, but they were cleaned up for the dairy because the place was 20 years without anything out there, and so the ditches filled in. So they had to dig them out and take the vegetation out because, you know, what was happening out there, Carol, and a friend of mine who owns horses in the area said it was collecting the water again. It was going back to being a swamp
mm-hmm.
because the vegetation had blocked the ditches. So it wasn't being drained like it used to.
Yeah. So
they had to clean it up. But anyway, so he's looking to see, is the caca going to go into the water? And he finds, there are springs on site. So the next thing he does, Mr. Whittier sends Watson an email that says, is this picture real? He took the picture she sent him of the excavation of the effluent pond, and he emailed it to Watson and said, is this really on the dairy site? Watson then takes the picture and emails it to the gentleman who's proposed to be the farm manager, Jim Garment. And he said, hey, Jim, I've been out on the farm site. I've never seen this. Does this exist or is this FOM Photoshop?
Friend of Mahalapu.
Yeah, accusing us of somehow making up that picture. Well, fortunately for us, Jim Garment answered honestly and said, no, Watson, this is on site, and it's our first excavation, initial excavation of where we hope to put the effluent pond.
Mm-hmm.
only we ran into water.
So let me ask you this, and there's been someone calling. I don't know if we got the wires crossed as to the calling in the next hour for comments, but...
No, I don't mind being interrupted, Carol, please.
Okay. But if you would, where does this go now? What are your expectations? Because it's definitely not over. Real briefly, what do you anticipate on the part of the dairy people? They've gotten that 8-day extension for whatever reasons, and you weren't provided an opportunity to read the justification for that. I don't know if you're privy to that. But secondly, where does it go from here, and what do you anticipate them doing with this, what was so critical about getting 8 days?
Well, the period was 30 days, and it's, you're right. When the state had 30 days to act on the final, that's provided by statute. But the statute does give the agency an opportunity to extend the review period up to 15 days. And I'm not sure what the magic was in the request from the dairy people. We kind of felt that maybe they got an inside word that the director of the Office of Environmental Quality Control was finding problems with the EIS, mm-hmm. and so they wanted the agency to take more time. Maybe they wanted to try to get some explanations in. There's a lot of communication going back and forth that we don't ever see. You know, they pick up the phone, whatever, yeah? Mm-hmm. And you're right, we asked for the documents to find out what the basis was. Why did the applicant ask the Department of Health to take an additional 8 days, you know? Mm-hmm. And we couldn't get an answer. They told us that was part of the deliberative process, and so we'll find out eventually.
Not only, though, this is puzzling. We know that it's deliberative, but here's the problem. They made a decision. There's no deliberation occurring. The request was to give us 8 days. Extension. The dairy asked for 8 days.
Yes.
So they rendered a decision on that. So therefore, there is no deliberation. So once again, it scares me as to why I ask you, what do you expect? What do you anticipate? Because
well, there is still the deliberation of the director of the Department of Health.
I got that, but this is two separate things. We're talking about you requested a copy of the letter, the communication that they filed to request an extension.
Right.
And then that extension was independent, separate of that, so the agency granted the extension. So therefore, in my opinion, from where I stand, that the agency is not deliberating anything because the request was
I see what you're saying. You're saying they got a request to extend it 8 days.
Right.
They granted it. There's no more deliberation in that process.
Yes.
So they should be able to give it up.
Well, should have given it up, unless they are one of spoiled milk. I don't know. But that's puzzling. Hold on. You asked to be interrupted. So.
I'm happy to be interrupted.
Good morning, caller. Thank you for calling. You have a comment or question?
Aloha.
Yes, sir.
Hi. Aloha Kako. Calling from the island of Kauai.
Yes, sir.
My name is Kalani Kumai Kamakauliuli Pua Mo'i Ona Ali'i Hano Hano. That's a mouthful. But I'm locally known as Aunt Harmony. I am the Ahamoku representative for Maha'ulipu and a lineal descendant of the previous Hui and LCA awardee and Kuleana Ohanas in Maha'ulipu. I have had the Native Hawaiian Legal Corporation assist me in comments that I filed back during the filing period. They helped me with preparing some 12 pages of detailed comments and case citations. The response I got from Hawaii Dairy Farms was completely inadequate. Did not address most of my concerns, and where they did attempt to placate or share some information, that plan is inadequate, having to do with the cemetery plan that they have filed. Mm-hmm. I am very concerned that they did not address many of the issues raised in my comments, that their plan will contaminate the water that flows through the taro beds, raising kallo that has been grown in the valley, some 300 acres of prime alluvial soil, the best for growing taro, and as late as 1898, 300 acres of it was cultivated in taro, according to court documents. The Hawaii Dairy Farms and the HDF have misrepresented the usage of those LCA lands, claiming that they were all in sugar cultivation up and through the late 1800s, and that was not so. There's a number of inaccuracies that they just don't address, and they deliver mendacious statements regarding former usage of the land. Mm-hmm. So, as Bridget was mentioning, those LCA allodial lands under what they call fee tail, which are not in the IAL, or Important Agricultural Land Designation areas. They're Kuleana lands that were quiet titled, and there is questioning cloud over those titles, and the inheritances of Ohana, including myself and the po'o, our head of the Koloa Ahamoku Council, Billy Ka'ohi Lauli'i. Both he and I have filed complaints under the Ahamoku system that were sent on to the BLNR and are part of the legislative report filed every 6 months. But the head of the go-between liaison for the Ahamoku to the BLNR had filed also a lengthy comment, and as far as I know, they were not addressed.
Okay.
We're running short on days before Virginia Pressler makes her decision. There have been literally hundreds of letters submitted on this issue that have not been responded to, and our legislatures seem somewhat uneducated on the consequences of destroying the ecology of the South Shore of Kauai.
Yeah. Well, thank you
for listening.
Thank you. And by the way, the IALs, in my query of Department of Ag, I was told that the IALs were determined by which lands would be included, was determined by the dairy. I don't know how factual that is. Bridget, you may be able to speak to it, but also you have another caller. But go ahead, Bridget. And thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Bridget?
Now, the IAL designation actually was done well ahead of the contemplated dairy. It was done by Grove Farm.
Mm-hmm.
They are the ones that had, they're the owners, so they had to ask the state to change the classification of the land, and they had to dedicate it to the state. So they are the ones that accepted or kept out
mm-hmm.
the Kuleana parcels, and I think they did it because legally they had to. I don't think they have clear title to those properties. That's my
yeah.
own personal opinion.
Well, that they informed me wrong then, because of my query, and they said, well, the IALs, if you recall, the state didn't do them, nor did the state certify them, take the measures of certifying or anything. It was just
it's right. The Grove Farm designated the property
mm-hmm.
for the state and asked the Land Commission to recognize them as important agricultural lands
right.
because they have great tax benefits.
Right.
An owner has tremendous tax credits because then all the development of the property can be written off. The building of roads can be written off. The irrigation systems put in can be written off. They all become tax deductible on important agricultural land.
And the dairy did, in fact, take a tax benefit?
Yes, the dairy took advantage of that, but it
okay.
was Grove Farm that designated and made the petition to the state. Before the dairy was a lessee,
okay.
Grove Farm 2 years earlier put the property, started the petition to put the property in important agricultural land, but they specifically kept out the Kuleana parcels, and I think that's because they probably didn't have the clear title to them. I don't know why else they would have, because they're on the same site.
Let's take the next caller here.
Okay.
Good morning, caller. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Did you finish writing down that guy's last name yet?
No, I'm just learning how to pronounce it.
I swear to God, that man was for real. I really appreciate him showing up on your show.
All righty.
Look, Richard's hurt. I don't know what the exact story is, but I picked it up on the Poco I Knew He show.
Mm-hmm.
Hope all his records are protected and things like that. And then finally, more towards your subject, what's the fake news? What's the real news? Who's in control of what information? Is WikiLeaks going to pop up with the right information? Is a Russian agent going to show up with the right information?
Well,
I'm kind of trying to make the point that where are you going to get good information from, right information, and how do we wind up in a world where WikiLeaks and secret tellers and I got this document that can make you believe the worst about somebody is the truest thing? I think just stuff's got really crazy.
Well, just try to find it right here at Carol Cox Show. That's all I can tell you. I don't know about the booger bears in the closet.
The only thing I can tell you about pushing that dairy around is if you can find up with the cheaper is better so they can have more for less, they just might budge. But I don't think they're going to budge anymore. And the only information you're going to get is going to be shine on, I guess. That's all I can add now.
Okay. All right. Thank you, caller.
Yeah, I'll call you in the next hour and clear up where I was and while my friend was taken off of base, and then we'll go on.
All righty.
Later.
Aloha. Thank you. Bridget, go ahead, and we got another 5 minutes, and then I guess if the other folks are going to call in, they're welcome to 524-1080 in the next hour. Go ahead, if you would.
I would just add, one of the things that the dairy has always said is they don't intend to alter or lower the price of milk with their production on Kauai. Listeners should know that all the milk that's produced, if they ever get permission to operate here, which we hope they don't, is intended to be shipped off island to be processed on Oahu. Meadow Gold right now is the only processor in the state, so they've contracted with, they've been in touch with Meadow Gold. Meadow Gold will take the milk and blend it. Right now, Meadow Gold's own statements are that they receive approximately 80% of the milk they package in Hawaii from the mainland, 20% from the dairies that are present in the state. And I know Ms. Hennessy keeps saying they'll be the first pasture-based dairy, but there's a naked cow dairy right on Oahu that's a pasture-based dairy already in existence. And they're not going to mob graze 300 cows on just 3 to 4 acres like Hawaii Dairy Farms is planning.
But
all that aside,
mm-hmm.
dairies give their milk to Meadow Gold. Meadow Gold pasteurizes it, processes it, packages it. And Meadow Gold can ship it wherever they want. They're saying the milk will stay in the state. But when we met with the state, they said that they intended to follow international milking standards. We asked why. They said because they can't sell it to military, they can't sell it overseas unless they follow international milking standards. And Meadow Gold has asked them to do that. But the bottom line is when farmer sells a product in the open market, they don't have any control where it's sold after that, because it's Meadow Gold's product at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And so this whole hype about it'll stay in Hawaii, I will say one thing. The dairy was very clear that they knew that it was not going to affect the price of milk in Hawaii. They're not going to be having any control over that, and they don't anticipate that the price of milk will lower at all from what they produce at Mahalalepu.
But that, for me, that's apples and oranges, because they haven't addressed the impacts of the environmental concerns adequately. When I say they haven't, maybe they have to some degree, but
you asked where does it go from here. Dr. Pressler has to make a decision by the 24th of
this month.
This month, as it stands right now.
Mm-hmm.
Barring any additional extension, because they do have the right to go out 15 days if they want, and right now they've just extended 8 calendar days. And after that decision is made, there are a number of things that can happen. You asked what could happen. The state could recommend that the dairy go back to the drawing board to the extent that they issue a new draft environmental impact statement that actually gives the public the opportunity to weigh in on those studies that were conducted after the fact and gives the dairy another opportunity to address the concerns that were raised. Some of them are big, like Branch just raised the animal cemetery where they plan to bury all the cows that die and all the babies that die because these are pregnant cows making milk. They have to be pregnant to make milk, and a lot of the babies don't make it. They're taken from their mothers early. I mean, it's a really not a pretty operation. That animal cemetery is right adjacent to a natural wetland where we have a lot of beautiful birds. Some of them, like the Kalua duck, only live in our area. The Kalua duck is only found in the world on the south shore of Kauai. That's where it comes from. And so that's, you know, that's happening here, and it's the water, it's the land full of clay. They didn't answer adequately to the director's satisfaction, the director of OEQC. How they're going to keep all this waste, and especially when it mixes with all the water, how are they going to keep it on the farm site? Mm-hmm. How can they possibly contain this so that it doesn't go across the public beach at Mahalapu where so many residents enjoy, you know, recreating? How is it going to keep it from going there? Mm-hmm. How is it going to keep it from getting into our wells?
Yeah.
If there's springs that come up through that site and drain back into the groundwater and the groundwater goes to the aquifer that fills our wells, our newest, biggest county well is 680 feet.
Yeah. Well, Bridget, go ahead.
From pastures that are going to have tons of manure.
Right. Well, we down to the last few seconds here, so if you want to call back and join me, if any of your people out there want to comment on this or share your comments that you've already submitted, feel free at carolcox.com is where you can listen to it live on stream. So we'll be back shortly.
Thank you,
Bridget.
Thank you for having us.
All right. No problem.
For the second half of the Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108. It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Good morning again, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Thank you for joining me. Take a brief pause there, and the board is lit up, so we're going to start in with the calls, and I have Bridget on the line, and I'll link her in shortly. So we'll take the first caller here. Caller, thank you for calling, and thanks for waiting. Your comments?
Aloha.
Aloha.
This is Kalani Kumai calling back, if I may. And as a... as I consider myself a real first party at interest with Maha'olipu, not only as the designated representative under the Ahumoku, but for, 57 years of experiences there. I'm 67. My tutukani took me to Maha'olipu when I was 10 years old. And I've been back 28 years on Pai Aina Kauai, and it is my refuge. I'm also a board member of Malama Maha'olipu, a 501c3, which my cousins started in the 1970s, the original group that resisted the development at Maha'olipu. I have great concern about the water, about the greater effects upon the Kauai economy, the South Shore, the visitor industry, and most importantly to me, the water, the marine life, the ia, the limu, the vanna, and the creatures of the sea. But everything on Kauai South Shore flows from Maha'olipu into the ocean and goes down to throughout the whole South Shore.
Area.
The smell, the flies, the noise, but most importantly, the water, the effect of the water. If I may, Carol, I would like to offer a short prayer. Being Hawaiian, everything good starts off.
Well, go help
prayer.
Yourself. No need for explanation.
I will do this and then follow it with the English. It is Apule ho'ola aina e te atua he puli ia e holoi ana I ka po'ino o ka aina a me ka palea e pao ko ka aina haumia he puli ia ho'o pau ana I nga hewa o ka aina a pau. I pau ke ae me ke ka vau. I pau ke kulopia a me ka po luluta. I pau ka kulea lana. A lea o pe ku e mu. Huki ala malapaki ka Maoli ho ike aku ake. And the translation into English, o akua, this is a prayer to cause cleansing of the misfortunes of the land and to ward off all of the land's desecration. This is a prayer to cause ending of all wrongs of the land, that the blight ends and the moisture returns, that the decay ends and the peace returns, that the bitterness ends. And therefore, buds, shooting, weeding, complete cleansing, renew offerings. Thank you.
Mahalo. Thank you.
All right. The best use of the land at Maha'olipu is in crops, agricultural crops. There's a great resource that is religiously important to all Hawaiian ohana, and that is a breeding ground of 300 of those acres for kalo, for taro. But there used to be orange trees, sweet potatoes,
Props of that nature for a great commercial industry, industrial hemp could replace plastics, could replace a lot of building materials and papers and mm-hmm. so many uses that could be used not only at Mahawilipu area, but with a plant there, it could connect to all the ag lands that used to sustain pineapple and sugarcane throughout the whole west side of Kauai to be processed at Mahawilipu and have us in the forefront of a great new industry once the rules against hemp cultivation are changed.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's, I think, seven states in America mm-hmm. that are investing in growing industrial hemp mm-hmm. for production, getting in the forefront of it. Mm-hmm. But they can only do a maximum of two crops
right.
a year. Many of them only one good crop a year, while we could do three crops a year.
Can we?
Anyway.
All right. There's I got four other callers sitting here. I'd like to give them.
The proper use of the valley, the highest and best use for the people is investing it in crops, in real agriculture, not in industrial dairy that will pollute the whole South Shore industry. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
And aloha.
Aloha.
Mahalo te akua.
All right. Thank you. Caller, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your comments or question.
Yeah, I like that guy. He should be an expert witness or something, be held high above us all in discussing this.
Mm-hmm.
The dairy farm might be being moved in there surreptitiously to run values down so somebody can buy them up at cheap prices. That could be one of the motivations. And since you got so many callers, I'll wait till later to explain where I was and why Rick was taking off the base later. It seems like he's staying on his dairy subject here.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or question.
Hi.
Yes, hi.
My name is Eileen, and I am a member of Friends of Mahalapu. I have studied the DEIS as well as the FEIS quite substantially, and I just have a couple of areas. Going back to the IAL property, one of the things when Grove Farms as Mahalapu Farms designated it as IAL property. They excluded the Kuleana land, but part of what they get is they get to not pay income tax on any of the rents they receive on that property from Hawaii Dairy Farms, as well as they get reduced property tax. So they benefit by putting it into IAL land, as well as Hawaii Dairy Farms, who got the $625,000 write-off
mm-hmm.
From the IAL land. The area that I wanted to bring up that wasn't covered at all in the DEIS was the cemetery. And in the FEIS, they talk about the water table throughout the property. And one of the things that they say is that the water table is a minimum of 8 feet down. Well, this isn't true. And they base this on the wells they drilled, because they drilled four wells. The wells, if you look at the well driller's log, the depth to water level is all measured from what he labels as TOC, which is top of cap. So when they capped the well, those top of cap, if you look further down into the well drilling log, is 2 feet above ground level. So the reality is the closest well to where they're going to put the cemetery says that the water level was 4 feet down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was top of cap. So in reality, the water level is 2 feet down. One of the things about a cemetery, they must have and this is true also of the affluent pond, 2 feet of dirt between the animal carcass and the water table.
Mm-hmm.
Or the affluent pond and the water table. And both of those water tables at the affluent pond and in that cemetery area
are at 2 feet. Not the 8 feet that they're saying in the FEIS. So this whole thing on the cemetery was not at all discussed in the DEIS, only in the FEIS. And mm-hmm. so it needs to go back to being sent through the DEIS process again so that the public can comment. And then this type of thing would be brought up. I think earlier Bridget mentioned that
okay.
there's wetlands really close to where the cemetery is. Well, not only is there wetland, it's at the base of the mountain. And if you look on Google Earth, you can see rivulets coming down where there is no vegetation because when it rains, it comes down, and it comes down right near the cemetery off the mountain. So it will definitely cause severe problems.
Mm-hmm. And the other point, or did you get it?
The one on the IAL?
Yes, you covered the IAL. Okay.
Okay, so those are the two points that I wanted to bring up.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Uh-huh. Thank
All
you.
All right, sir. Call back if you have any more insight.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Caller, thank you for calling. Your comment or question? Hello?
Hello, is that me?
Yes, you.
Yes. My name is Jay. I'm also a member of Friends of Mahalapu. Carol, I think it's really easy why the QE, the OEQC told them to turn it down. If you read all the documentation that they've replied to, they've never really answered any questions on anything that is important.
Mm-hmm.
They just say, you know, this is not going to affect anything. This will not affect the community. They've never addressed anything with the smells or with the bacteria or with the flies. And we're getting reports from the Big Island where they have a 1,200 cow dairy right now, 6 miles from a town. People are calling in telling us they can't even sleep at night. We're doing some investigating on that. And the whole thing is just spin. They've never, ever answered any questions that anyone from the community has brought up on anything. They've never, ever came back with any proof to back anything up that they say. So I'm very confident that it'll be turned down on Friday. So
all right.
That's what I have to say. Thanks a lot, Carol.
Hey, thank you so much, Jay. And Bridget? All righty, we're back there. And there were a couple other callers. Again, be patient and try to let everybody. This is not just someone being flippant in the remarks, so hopefully you can respect that. But please feel free to call back again. 524-1080 is the number. Go ahead, Bridget. Do you got anything?
Yeah, I was just going to offer. I was the person that actually received the contact from our website. Our webmaster sent it to me from the Big Island. We've now had several communications with a little community along the Hamakua coast, Ōkala, Hawaii. And I actually lived in Ōkala for about 4 years with my family when I was younger. My youngest brother was born there. So I know right where that is, Carol. And the community is approximately 5 miles plus from the Big Island Dairy. The Big Island Dairy is a mile and a half inland from the ocean,
mm-hmm.
contrasting that to the 6/10 of this location over here that it's proposed to be. You've got close, much closer over here. And they're having problems on the Big Island with runoff into the ocean from the dairy that's set back a mile and a half. They're also having terrible problems with the stench.
Mm-hmm.
I personally called the manager of the dairy just to get some background information to compare the two operations. And I asked him about the smell. I said, is it a problem? He said, oh, yeah, it's a problem. It really stinks. Those were his words.
Mm-hmm.
But the people in Ōkala described the odor coming through their windows at night and waking them from sleep. It's so foul.
Wow.
And the biting flies that go with this manure are very real. They're actually having a community meeting over there on March 14th, and we wish them well. We really do. And what we're trying to do for Kauai and for the state is to say, hey, look what's already happening here. It's happening all over the U.S., you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that from reading. You can Google water, nitrate, pollution, and you'll get all kinds of dairy stories through the U.S., throughout New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got that contact from Ocala, I thought, oh, my gosh, it's right here in the state of Hawaii. It's happening right here, right now. The Department of Health is sending an official to that meeting in March to take complaints from the public to try to understand. One person wrote on the county council web page or Facebook page, when are you going to take care of this pilau that's getting in our water, that's
hold that thought.
Bothering our lifestyle.
You got three other callers. So
okay,
hold your thought. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yeah, I hope there's something to save here. Hesh talks about the importance of the sulfur contained in manure. If that manure could be controlled and spread in a positive way, we might be able to cut back on the Roundup kind crops and stuff like that.
Well, in order to salvage the manure to get sulfur to make avoid using Roundup, you would have to allow the dairy in there. Are you missing something in this conversation?
Oh, I don't know. We all getting beat with such a big stick. If the dairy winds up in there, I was hoping there was one thing to
say.
Okay,
well, if they do get approved, then we'll bring that up.
Okay. All right.
Okay, thank you.
Well.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, Carol, what's up?
Not much. You got a comment regarding the show?
Not really. I wanted to say hello.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hello?
Hello? Caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
Hey, I'm calling in regards to the dairy on Kauai.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. I'm calling from the mainland right now, Idaho, and we're pretty familiar with dairies and cattle ranching and so forth. And I just don't think that these people who are even trying to put this thing there, if they've ever stepped foot on a dairy. The smell is, you'll see or hear or smell a dairy long before you ever see a dairy.
Mm-hmm.
The problems that they have in central Washington state, the problems they have in South Idaho are dramatic. And they talk about people being woke up on the Big Island from the smell. That happens every day to these people that live here on the mainland.
And there's no escaping it.
It just seems so ill-conceived to even approach putting that dairy there. And the second part that I wanted to talk about was that when a dairy, the cleanliness is next to godliness. So they have to clean these dairies out every day. And what are they going to use? They're going to be using all kinds of chemicals to clean the dairies.
Fungicides and bactericides. What are some of the uglies that they use in that business? Anyway, you're familiar?
I know that they use a lot of bleach in dairies.
Mm-hmm.
They wash the water, they wash the concrete, the stalls, and everything down multiple times a day.
Mm-hmm.
So where is all that water going to go if it's contaminated now with not only manure, but chemicals?
Mm-hmm. So you would say no, but heck no.
That would be putting it lightly. I think it's beyond the comprehension of any intelligent person to even think that this is the right place to put this dairy.
Yeah. Well, it's going to bring milk to Hawaii.
That's such a weak argument, Carol. I can't even believe they would use that argument to try to push that through. I think that's a falsehood. I think that the dairy companies can sell the milk wherever they want to sell it. It's not going to come back to Kauai. You're not going to go to the Safeway store and see that the milk came from South Shore of Kauai. It's not going to be labeled that way. That's an insult to anybody's intelligence, I believe.
So that is really the crux of it. Is that they stink anyway? I mean, milk good for some people, but overall the biting flies, the stench, and all of that.
Well, yes, and my fear is that if it gets in, and God help us all that it does not, that how are you ever going to get rid of it, and how are you ever going to get the land back the way it was? Mm-hmm. Because dairies are very, very, very hard environment.
Bridget, do you have any comments for this gentleman?
Yes, I thank him for calling all the way from Idaho. I know we've been studying, as I said, Carol, and throughout the U.S., many communities have lost their drinking water. So it really is kind of a false argument to say you're bringing milk to Hawaii while you're taking away the fresh water supply or contaminating the fresh water supply for 5,000 permanent residents and hundreds of thousands of visitors to the South Shore of Kauai. I mean, this part of Kauai produces 25% of the tax, property tax revenue for the entire county. And you can only imagine if they're being bothered by stench 5 miles away, and as the gentleman says, you can smell a dairy long before you see it because of hormones, because of the wet manure, the production. I mean, they put out 90 pounds per day per cow. The dairy says that themselves in their plan. That's a tremendous 64,000 pounds of manure daily. Imagine 32 one-ton trucks loaded with wet manure. You can only imagine the stench, okay? And you do that, plus you have flies, biting flies that breed. It's a real mess. Mm-hmm. And then you have a resort area within a couple miles of the dairy. I mean, less than 2 miles of the dairy mm-hmm. is the Grand Hyatt, yeah. which employs 1,000 people. How many of those people are going to have their jobs?
Well,
months after the dairy would begin its operation? Probably not many.
So question here is, will the state do the right thing and adhere to that recommendation at this point? And they can resubmit it later, I would guess, huh?
They are the ones who are in control. And we have begged to meet with the people who are proposing this dairy to say, please rethink this. We know now, right in our own state, there's a community suffering on the Big Island, Ōkala. I'm sure Lapahoehoe, whoever still lives there, is still there, also plagued by it. There's probably other areas, other residences that are mm-hmm. bothered. But that's, unfortunately for them, those are really low, middle-income communities, no resorts in the area, no vacation destination. And so when that thing went in, it probably didn't get the scrutiny that this one is getting. But we want the right thing done for the preservation of our environment, for our lifestyle. I mean, you can't imagine this is going to turn us upside down on our ears. And I'm personally with my family almost 5 miles from it. So it's, people say my backyard, it's not a backyard issue. It's a true environmental disaster, and it's not agriculture. Oh, Carol, an exciting thing. We got a letter this last week from the founding president of the National Farmers Union. The Farmers Union is 115 years old, and they actually provided policy statements of the Farmers Union and said that the operation plan for Mahalapu is not considered sustainable under farmer standards.
Mm-hmm.
So they also came out and said it's poorly sized and poorly located. It's mm-hmm. too big and too dangerous an area to go forward. And we really pray that the state recognizes that.
Okay.
For all our sakes, because as the gentleman from Idaho just said, we've been told and everything we've read suggests do your homework on the front end, because the cleanup later is so expensive.
Right.
They're dealing with this in New Zealand now. Counties in New Zealand are spending as much as $50 million a year cleaning up after dairy mess, dairy degradation. They've lost 60% of their fresh water is so contaminated in New Zealand, it's not safe for human contact.
Right.
And that fact was just reported on a state island-wide television program after a court fight. The dairy industry tried to keep it from coming out on TV, and the courts down there ruled it was the truth and couldn't be suppressed.
Mm-hmm.
So it came out, and we had some people from New Zealand send us the information. It's absolutely a countrywide environmental mess right now in New Zealand from the dairy, so we don't want to go there here.
Right. I have another caller. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment.
Hello?
Yes, hi. You have a comment, a question for the show?
I do. I'll wait until your comment's over there.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Caller, thank you for calling.
Aloha. Thank you for the opportunity.
Go ahead.
This is
Caller, can you step away from the computer? You're getting a bleed over from the computer.
Okay. Thank you. This is Dan Muller from Kauai.
Okay.
I just want to add another little personal comment to what's being said. I'm away from it now.
Oh, go ahead.
I grew up on a dairy farm. We had about 100 milking cows at our top, and we were farming 378 acres, grew all our own food for us and for the cows, of course. And there's several things that are just plain common sense. One of them is you can't stop the smell. The smell's horrendous, and when it's wet, it is just unbelievable. You just want to get as far away from it as you can, as quick as you can. Two, you can't change the concept of gravity. And this dairy has a network of ditches. They're all going to drain into the Waipili ditch, which becomes the Waipili stream, pulls down at the beach, goes into the ocean. They can't change that. No technology can change that. And it's so critical that it's common sense. And they have not answered. They've not solved our concerns.
Mm-hmm.
It's textbook copy and paste that does not replace experience. And when you study the experiences through the mainland, and like on the Big Island, that's telling the real truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I commend the people that are trying to bring all this truth out to try to stop a disaster on Kauai environmentally, economically, personally, thousands of jobs lost, just terrible devastation. We'll never be able to recover from it.
Right.
And there's no benefit. All we get's the poop.
Yeah. Okay.
And we wouldn't have the money to clean it up after they walk away. If and when they do. They're a limited LLC, so their liability's limited.
Mm-hmm.
There are no positives and many, many negatives, and I appreciate everybody who's trying their best to get that out to the public and definitely to our government to stop this.
Well,
thank you very much, Carol, for what you do.
Thank you so much. Aloha. Bridget, go ahead if you have a comment. I want to make sure if you're interested in having people write Ms. Pressler and encourage her or in a polite way or however you've deemed necessary to ask her to do the right thing and follow the recommendations of Mr. Scott Glenn.
Thank you, Carol. That's really probably a great idea. On our website, if people will go to friendsofmahalapu.org, Friends of Mahalepu, and I'll spell it, it's M-A-H-A-U-L-E-P-U. If you go to friendsofmahalepu.org, there's actually a key contacts list, and Dr. Pressler's address is on that list. As is Pierre Omidyar's, and I would encourage listeners to write to both of them,
mm-hmm.
because their agriculture has a place. It is not a bad thing. We do need food. But I think the Farmers Union is correct. It has to be properly sized and properly located, or it can be very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And we have children in the area, and, you know, we have issues that came to our attention. We had one woman, a doctor, Irene Sherman, testified to Scott Enright that, you know, she could, and showed him pictures of empatigo infestations or empatigo outbreaks in children from biting flies.
The biting flies.
We have a community here with children, Kaloa Elementary School, several hundred children, I don't know if it's 400, 500, I don't know how many are in that school, but it's a good-sized school. Mm-hmm. They've had to add rooms because Kilauea has been growing.
Right.
And that school is within 2 miles of this dairy. Those flies will hit those kids. The normal fly distribution daily, according to the entomologists who weighed in on this, is about 4 miles
mm-hmm.
from the farm site.
And with
and
a
when
bite.
Those kids' faces get bit by those biting flies, they'll all get impetigo. They've had this in other communities.
Yeah.
It's just a reality. There's health risks, serious
right.
health risks. So
okay.
as that one caller said, when they're saying we're bringing milk to Hawaii, it's a real disingenuous statement because what they're really bringing to Kauai is at least 2 million pounds of wet manure a month, up to 6 million pounds with the full herd of 2,000 mature dairy cows, which is mentioned throughout their plan over 200 times. They talk about expanding the herd to 2,000. So it's
right.
not just an idle idea. That is their goal. And they told the Lu'ui Business Association that they set that goal herd because that's their bottom line. That's where they want to make the real money.
Right.
And to do that, they're putting little kids at risk. They're putting an entire visitor industry at risk. The 1,000-plus jobs at the Hyatt alone, thousands of jobs all along the coast, and all the dairy's going to put in is 5 full-time positions on Kauai and 8 positions on Oahu. All
mm-hmm.
of the management, all of the ownership, all of the leaders of this operation live in Oahu.
Right.
They
hold
don't
that.
Live here. They're not buying land. You
well,
know, so
hold that thought there. I don't know if they're buying land. If they did, they'd probably put another dairy up. So maybe
yeah. Well,
hold
they're
on.
Not. They're just they're leasing this for 20 years,
right.
and they I think they know it's not sustainable.
Right.
I think they know it's going to create a mess, and then they're going to fold and leave. And we're going to be left with the cleanup.
Let me get this caller. I hate to keep him waiting. Hold on, Bridget.
No, I'm fine.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Thank you, Carol, and thank you, Bridget, for the tedious and courageous work that you're doing with this very important issue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I live in Kauai, which is ground zero for this catastrophic mess. My grandfather came in the late 1800s, as did many immigrants. So I do realize he was part of the industrial farming complex that started the damage. However, one wrong move doesn't deserve another. And the dairy damage will not discriminate. People think that this movement is about wealthy mainlanders protecting their property. But there are thousands more people like me who live here. Lower middle class people, and the dairy damage will not discriminate. The stench will not only go to the backyards and the kitchens of rich people. And when real estate properties drop by 30% to 85%, it's not just the rich people who are going to experience this. We're all going to be in it.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate that, you know, historically we've talked about NIMBYs, not in your backyard, but when the benefit is going to benefit us all as far as not putting a siting a dairy there, we know the implications and the impacts, the negative impacts. What's the debate? But here's what I will share with the two of you. With all things stated and the in such an eloquent way and being timely, let me get down to the nitty-gritty why they shouldn't put it down, put it there, or anywhere in this state of Hawaii. First of all, most of your entities that are in business now, I don't care if they're making molasses or if they're making charcoal or making electric by burning coal, they are all, in this climate, self-policing. The state health department does not have the capacity, the ability, nor the interest in enforcing the law. A case in point, EPA has chastised them, the health department, for simply taking the EPA money and failing to hire and use that money properly. Time and time again, I met with, we don't have anybody. We have matters right now where there is leachate flowing into the streams and contaminating the waters and causing major impacts. They can't go out there because they don't have the manpower to go and inspect it. So with all things stated, the biggest thing that I'm scared of, if they put it in, there's no policing. If you look at Seaworm, they're required to submit documents regarding the wells and the drillings and all, and you go to Seaworm and you can't find anything. It's so disfigured, dismembered. And you ask any state agency, if you want to try it and confirm what I'm saying, take any issue and call the state and ask them. You got one vector control. So you're talking about fly control, fly issues? You got a vector control officer, maybe. So don't count his vacation, his sick time and what have you, and his reports. So that's what really bothers me about this entire project, and I just share that with you. Don't rest so much on those elements that we've cited and people have stated. But the bigger concern is that it's the state leaves it up to the polluter to pollute and then protect and report itself. And you don't have anybody on staff in the state health department that has the capacity to go out and take samples and render a decision immediately there. It's always we got to consult a contractor. Or worse yet, here's what the standard practice is. They have nobody, no hydrologists. They're unskilled. They don't have adequate ones. They don't have air people that really know the talk and can walk the walk. They don't have that. So what they do is they have the companies to do their own sampling of water, of air, of soils, submit those samples, and then the state bites it, swallows it, and ingests it and spit out a document that says everything is within the measures of the means. And if that's not satisfactory, they will take elevated levels and increase them. So through the EAL, changing the EALs. Go ahead.
I just wanted to offer something you just said reminded me that when we met with Peter Oshiro, who's head of the sanitation branch of Department of Health, he told us that this dairy is going to have all their written documents, said they're going to be a leading edge, state-of-the-art.
Fly swatter?
He said the same thing, and I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, don't worry. They'll keep the milk cold. And I said, how do you know that? He said, well, they have a locked box that they put on their cooling tanks, and the state comes and inspects it because it keeps the records for so long. I said, well, okay, but say we have one of our rolling power outages and the milk warms up someday to, you know, above 42 degrees, and you come a month later or 2 weeks later, how often do you come to inspect? And he said, isn't there no schedule, and it's only, you know, they'll come when they can. But he said, we can look back. And I said, well, when you look back, if you find it got warmer than it should on this day and this day, what do you do about it? He says, oh, we'll tell them to dump the milk.
Right.
And I said, well, then what happens when the milk has already been shipped off island and processed on Oahu? He said, then we'll issue them a fine.
You know what's going to happen? If they walked in today, the normal practice in the state, if they found contaminated milk, they'd be so apologetic, they being the state, will be so apologetic and so nervous about making any decision, making them to destroy anything, and because they don't want to be sued, because they don't have anybody on staff that is hired by the state that can stand up and talk the talk. They have no one.
Well, they do have one person.
Well, yeah, but he...
The director of the Office of Environmental Quality Control.
Well, that's
and
different.
And he wrote real clearly.
Well, we're talking apples.
There's a concern about the soil not addressed.
I understand.
There's a concern about the water not addressed. There's a concern about the cemetery.
Yeah, but Bridget, he made those observations. I'm speaking to the more critical point. Who above him is going to say, go and do it? And you see, it still rests in the hands of someone else, see. But
well,
anyway, that's
a different
conversation.
I know they called out, the legislature called out, the Department of Agriculture has 33 positions funded but not filled.
Yeah.
I think the Department of Health is in the same situation with a lot of posts they have funding for.
I deal with them every day.
I
deal with them every day, and I'm just sharing with you things that these are factual things. I trust absolutely nothing when they say that it's, it always arrives at where it meets the level. You go to the ash, the person that burns ash, the company that burns ash. They do their sampling. They submit the samplings. And the state may go over there, but they're never aggressively and progressively.
Well, we already had that at Mahalapu, Carol. You're right. We had an 11-year biosolid dump site. and none of us even knew it was there, the State Department of Health issued permits for contracts to wastewater treatment operations, allowing the human biosolids to be dumped on an acre, 54-acre parcel that was a half mile from this the stream that's sick, so it's not next to it. It's a half mile away from the dairy site. But that biosolid site was receiving human-treated waste secondary treatment for 11 years, and people are suggesting that that may be what is making our Waiopili stream show up with 10,000 fecal bacteria in just 3 ounces of water.
Right.
Some months it's 8,000. Some months it's as high as 28,000. And nobody can say where it's coming from.
But you see, this is drives home my point. It's all window.
You're right.
They're all window dressing.
They send the records into the state like they were supposed to. And sometimes the records they sent to the state showed that they were dumping in excess of what their contract permitted.
Well, that's confirming my exact point because,
yes.
You see, when you say they didn't send it, but remember, the state isn't just some innocuous person sitting at the bus bench waiting to. They are a regulatory body tasked with enforcing these things. So if the excuse is that they didn't send the reports to the state health department, well, then why didn't the state health department go there and demand that they're there and then take action, legal action, for failing to adhere to the proper conditions of their permit?
Well,
right?
They didn't. They didn't.
Yeah.
But what I will say is we have a lot of respect for Dr. Pruder, Senior Pruder.
Yeah, I understand that. Well, I'm far from...
When we got the high levels we did of bacteria in the stream.
They're all nice people. Come Thanksgiving and Christmas, they bake turkeys and have family together. I'm talking about some observations I'm sharing with you that they don't have the manpower. So when they promise all of this review and they say we're going to authorize it, this is I'm saying why they shouldn't, because they don't have the manpower to police
it. They won't, it
and
will have to
it's
be
not a discussion. I'm conveying to you.
What we found is the dairy has been untruthful with the agency.
Yeah, well, but again.
So we prove that. And our biggest objection now, Carol, is if they have to self-police themselves, if they have to be self-regulating and to a certain extent, which you're right, they do, they're going to be required to turn in documents, turn in reports. And if they've already turned in false records on rainfall level, false records on soil type, false oaths about their activities on the site, I think another thing Dr. Pressler must take into consideration is the fact that it's not a company you want to operate a dairy there.
We have to...
I don't know... We have so many people that honestly don't feel they can be trusted.
You have to lay everything on the table. If you're talking about we're going to accept this and accept that, and then the state must be realistic and honest about it. This protocol that they have, the hoops and hurdles that you're jumping through, it rests still yet. If they were to say we're not going to give it, that's good. But if they say we're going to give it, I'm saying why they shouldn't. They don't have the manpower, they don't have the interest, or the fortitude to do it. They just don't, because they're constantly fearful of being sued. Let's get the other caller. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Aloha. I just want to say that people got to make up their mind. What is more important? Water. Drinking water, milk. And any power will tell you what is more important. Power knows that is more important.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Aloha. Thanks, Lipo. Caller, go ahead with your comment and question. Hello? Hello? Go ahead, Bridget.
Okay, I don't think they realize they're on the air.
But they doubt.
Carol, we really thank you so much for the time you've given. We encourage people to go to friendsofmahalapu.org. Contact us if you want any information. We're a totally open organization. Any comments that have been made, we've actually incorporated them on the website. There's a Google Drive link that all of our comments can be read. We've really been out there saying, you know, we're just trying to save our Aina.
Mm-hmm.
And our homes and our futures and our life. It's a gorgeous place. And I honestly don't think industrial ag this close to the ocean or our drinking water wells can ever be allowed. And they know that now in New Zealand, the Dairy Guild down there, the laws have been changed, and they now are not allowed, and they've had to pull back from any proximity to freshwater or the ocean or estuary.
Right.
So, you know, it's something that's been learned elsewhere in the world, and we're not reinventing the wheel. We're just saying, listen, look, see what's happening, see what the people of Ocala are suffering with now, and please, please don't do that.
Yeah. Hold on, just in case this caller has a question for you.
Sure.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead. Hello? All righty, Bridget. I guess they don't know they're calling.
No. Sorry.
But anyway, there's a lot to be worried about. So, Dr. Pressler, we hope she is following the lead of Mr. Scott and Glenn. He did a thorough, and his staff did a thorough review. And I don't know how there could be anything that could be introduced without you guys having an opportunity to view it for her to not to go along with what his recommendations are. That's a whole strategy, right? That's what the protocol is. Submit it to OEQC. They make their recommendations. What my question would be, what is Ms. Pressler or Dr. Pressler going to draw on to make a decision contrary to what Mr. Glenn say? And if that's so, if there is something contrary, has that information been presented to you folk, Mahalo Pu, or friends of Mahalo Pu? You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, I do exactly.
We want to be respect.
The state people we've dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
If there's something we're bringing to your attention that you don't think is valid, tell us.
Right.
Tell us where we're wrong, and they haven't.
And no sidebar discussions or no in-camera discussions, and then you folks are left out.
Yeah.
I don't think that you can be rational and have a whole full, healthy conversation about this if, in fact, they're withholding information. You want to know, well, what's the justification, the rationale for them requesting an extension of the deadline? And they tell you, well, no, we can't tell you that right now because it's being deliberated. But yet they're going ahead and granting it, you know, these kinds of things. And they've repeated themselves over and over and over. So I would beg that Dr. Pressler just adhere to what Mr. Glenn, that's the most rational, logical thing to do. Hold on. Caller, thank you for calling. Hello?
Hello.
Yes.
My name is Jim.
Yes, Jim. How are you?
Fine, thanks. I won't go over some of the grounds that you've done already. I wrote a letter last July to the departments that were of interest and pointed out that my viewpoint, well number F, which is a critical part of our drinking water,
mm-hmm.
appeared to be within the thousand foot setback that they indicated. It looked like 600 feet.
Wow.
I don't have surveying instruments, but that's the way it appeared. They ignored that question because I challenged them to show on a survey whether that well was outside the 1,000-foot setback or inside. And that really concerns me because one of Bridget's emails suggested that well was between 600 and 700 feet. So I just thought I'd point that out for what it's worth.
Thank you so much. All righty. Caller, thank you for calling.
Yeah, sure. When I was in high school, they did some kind of exercise. Maybe it was in a civics class where there was the classic stinky farms been there forever.
Okay.
And then the suburbs moved in around it. And somehow I was supposed to be the lawyer representing the farm. And I lost. I just tried to say, well, they were there first. They have rights. No, the farm had to clean up its act somehow. So maybe there can be a big leaning of people around that property against it before it becomes in fact, or have it removed quickly after it becomes a fact.
That's what they're doing now, brother. They're trying to prevent it from being established.
So that's the best I can share on that exercise in
civics
class, and maybe there's something there for y'all.
Thank you so much, Nilo.
Bye.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Carol, I know this is kind of off the subject. Where would one find out how much water is being exported, drinking water, exported out of Hawaii? Where would I find that out?
You could probably go to the agency that that monitors and enhances business administration.
So is that DCC or whatever DCCA they call them, Department of Commerce, I would imagine, right?
Or DBED. Start with DBED, probably.
Yeah.
They probably
okay, I'll check it out and get back to you next week.
Thank you so much. Aloha.
Take care.
Bridget, go ahead.
I was just
and we've got 4 minutes there.
That it did, we did actually get a measurement, and it's that Kaloa well left, the newest, biggest county well that provides all of Poipu's drinking water, is 680 feet from an area where the effluent pond is going to be pumped out with manure sludge solids placed right on the surface. And it happens to be a small part of the farm with well-draining soil, so I'm sure they picked that sludge dump site because the ground there has more absorption than most of the farm. Mm-hmm. 80% of the farm is clay. 50% is either Kaena or Kahili clay, and 30% is the other. They're the two clays, and those clays are saturated. The 50% is saturated, Carol, after just 0.2 inches of mm-hmm. moisture. So even their planned irrigation is going to cause ponding and pooling every day, and there's going to be runoff. And they admit there's going to be runoff.
Right.
There's no. They're not saying anymore that there's zero discharge. And, you know, we had a federal court case, Clean Water Act, and the judge in our federal Clean Water Act case, which is still in process, found that the entire site is a point source for discharge
mm-hmm.
because and he recognized the whole thing was drained.
Well, for the listeners out there, I want to do one thing, and I think it's a disservice to Bridget for failing to do this earlier, but and she's alluded to Ms. Hammerquist is not a just your average activist and not just a NIMBY. She born here, raised here, got grandkids, raising them here. Ms. Hammerquist is an actual retired nurse, a lawyer, and served as a judge in the courts, and you practice in federal court too, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So for those of you out there that want to try to strike this effort down and marginalize it, this is the real thing. When people of this caliber, and many of them out there, it's not of this, not in your backyard, not in my backyard. This is people that are sitting down and giving their brain cells. She could be on a sailboat going around the world enjoying herself, but she's fighting for this. So are the other folks. It's not about their houses. If you say they're too rich, then they can get on the plane and leave you here in the stench. So let's join in and fight this thing. This is bad business. So thank you, Bridget. And
thank you, Carol.
Friends of Mahalapu and what's .org?
Yeah, Friends of Mahalapu.org. It's MAHALEPU. And if anyone out there has the ability to help us and donate some funds, we think it's going to be a hard fight. This project is being backed by a billionaire, Piero Midiar, the former eBay owner. And according to the piece that was in the paper yesterday, Carol, they saw that the director of OEQC recommended against accepting their FEIS, and he noted significant environmental concerns that he didn't feel were adequately addressed. And their response is, we intend to push forward.
Okay.
We intend to proceed. So we need help to stop it. And
thank you. All
right.
We care
a lot about this area.
Aloha, and thank you, Bridget. We're down to the last second, so take care.
Thank you, Carol. Right. Thank you for having us.
Bye-bye.
Mahalo.
Thank you.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.